conversation this evening is going to be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Numbers 9 and 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even until morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night. When the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now this is the pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. As we read from other passages of Scripture, we gather the description of the pillar. Over the tabernacle area, it seemed to be diffused and spread out, but from the center, it arose as a column reaching high in to the heavens. And it was a cloud daytime, but at night the fire shone through, giving light. Now, the first instance we have of this pillar is in Exodus 13. We're going to look at a few of these passages of Scripture, and then we're going to study the analogy between this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. The analogy between that and the Holy Spirit of God. Now in Exodus 13, verse 21, children of Israel getting ready to leave Egypt, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Now in the 14th chapter and the 19th verse, an angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of fire went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other at all. Now the 24th verse. It came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all of their journeys. Few scriptures descriptive of this cloud of fire by night and cloud by day, the pillar, as it were. Now, the first thing to which I call your attention is that this pillar of cloud and fire is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we remember from 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that all of these things happened unto Israel for types. And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age are come. Now, thinking of the analogy between the pillar of cloud and fire and the Holy Spirit of God, we say, first of all, that the pillar of cloud and fire did not appear until after the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. The Holy Spirit does not come upon us or in us to dwell until after we have left Egypt, so to speak. Now, the leaving of Egypt for the children of Israel involved the slaying of the Passover lamb and the feeding on that same Passover lamb, and then journeying out, heading toward the promised land. That has its counterpart in our believing on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. After we're saved, sanctified in that we're set apart by God Almighty, then the Holy Spirit comes in to one to dwell. There's much confusion today about the Holy Spirit of God. I was talking to a man today, a good man, very active in one of the leading churches of the city, and he told me his supreme desire just now is to have a great experience in the Holy Spirit of God, to know more about the Holy Spirit and to feel Him and experience Him and all of that. Well, I didn't feel like it was time to say anything. I didn't. He was so thrilled over the prospects. But we read in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit does not make Himself known. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit has come but for one purpose, and that's to make Christ known. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God is to make Christ real. Christ came to make God the Father real. The Holy Spirit's come to make Christ real. People can get confused. This brother was talking about a plane ride he made recently, and he was studying in his Bible and marking it, and finally the man seated next to him said, I notice you're marking in your Bible. And so he told him, yes, he was studying about the Holy Spirit of God, and that was his supreme desire, was to have a great experience in the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether he meant talking in tongues or the ability to become a snake charmer or just what he had in mind. But he said, you know, when the plane stopped and the guard had to leave, man sitting in front of him, he turned and said, I couldn't help but hear your conversation, overhear your conversation. And said, here's a book I want to give you. And he gave him a paperback book, which had to do with the charismatic gifts and things pertaining to the Holy Spirit of God. And the brother says, you see how the Lord's leading in everything there? And he just, everything. I said, well, now, I didn't say anything. It wasn't time or the place. I tread lightly until they ask me something, and then I tell them something. But I wonder if the Lord is passing out books on charismatic gifts today. Somebody else could be interested in a good man going astray in his teaching and in his doctrine. But there's so much confusion on the Holy Spirit of God. First place, nearly everybody talking about the Holy Spirit of God refers to him in the neuter gender, called the Holy Spirit it. Well, it's masculine throughout the Word of God. Masculine, he. He, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we read in John, in the Gospel of John. Now, keep in mind that this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire did not show till the children of Israel were out of Egypt. Now, if you'll turn to the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to John, chapter 37, we get the Word of God on the coming of the Holy Spirit of God into a person's life. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, now make the note, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Now mark, when one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit of God to indwell them. That's when he comes. For the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, for anybody who may have doubts, there's no difference in Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. It's one word in the Greek, translated Holy Ghost in King James, translated Holy Spirit in the American Standard Version and in many of the modern translations. If you're interested at all in the Greek words are hagios, pneuma. You may not be familiar with hagios, but with pneuma, you get pneumatic, pneumonia, having to do with air, respiratory system, the Holy Spirit, one breathes, the Holy Being. It's the same one. I guess for 10 years I've been getting correspondence from a man in California trying to straighten me out on the difference between the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. He's heard me say there wasn't any difference, and he's run himself crazy, and he hadn't exactly been a blessing to me trying to straighten me out. I got a letter yesterday from a lady in Tampa, Florida. Said, I just heard your program today, and I'd like to know something about the faith or the belief of the Jews. And I'd like to know if you worship on the Sabbath as God has ordered. Well, I haven't answered yet. I'm not sure that I will. I can't keep the law of the Sabbath. First place, I can't go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship. And the way I feel right now, I'm gonna build a fire on the Sabbath when it gets real cold. And the third place, I'm not gonna stone him by the death that violates the law of the Sabbath. Next place, I'm not going to let my land all that lie idle every seventh year. And when the year of Jubilee cometh, the 50th year, I'm not going to cancel all debts and let the land return to its original owner. I cannot keep the law of the Sabbath. I couldn't come to church here and worship on the Sabbath because it's over a Sabbath day's journey. Sabbath day's journey is a little short of a mile. No, I can't. But why tell that to anybody that's worshiping on the Sabbath? Just open up big arguments about the Holy Spirit of God. Second place, I want to call your attention to something about this pillar of cloud and fire and the Holy Spirit of God. This pillar of cloud and fire was a gift of God. They didn't ask for it. They didn't have to be good to get it. They didn't have to make any promises or sign any covenants or make any committal or dedication. God gave it to them. And through their 38 and a half years of disobedience, the cloud never left them. It was there all the time. Now, there are a lot of people today who think that the Holy Spirit comes only to those who have forsaken all, only to those who live a certain type of life. But in the passage which I read here from John chapter 7, the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that connection, if you still have your passage of John, turn to the 14th chapter of John. The 14th chapter of John. Talking about the free gift. The free gift of God. In this connection, I call your attention to another analogy between the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire and the Holy Spirit of God. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire never left the children of Israel till they were safely in the promised land. Never left them. Never left them. Now here in the 14th chapter of John, verses 16 and 17. I don't know whether you believe the word of God or not, but I can't help but call your attention to it. The 16th verse. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, literally, another advocate. I'll give you another one to walk by your side, to plead your case, that he may abide with you as long as you're good. That he may abide with you forever. No conditions or qualifications. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now note that verse, because I'm going to call your attention to an analogy that follows that in a little bit. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's going to be in you, and he's going to be in you forever. He's going to be in you and in you forever. If you remember the request of Elisha as he accompanied Elijah to the rendezvous he had with the angels of the Lord, just prior to Elijah's being caught up, Elijah said to Elisha, is there a request, a last request? He said, yes. What is it? I would like to have a double portion of thy spirit. To which Elijah replied, if you see me when I'm taken up, you may have and will have your desire. And after a while, the horsemen, chariots of God appeared, and Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw him. And he shouted with joy, "The horsemen, the chariots of God." Now, a double portion. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon people at various and sundry times. At some times, the Holy Spirit would indwell individuals. He'd be with them for a while, and then he'd leave them for a while, and he'd be back for a while, and he'd leave them for a while. Classic example of that was Samson. After his hair had been cut, he let it grow long because he had taken the Nazarite vow. Few people took the Nazarite vow. Very few people took it. It was a strenuous vow and an exacting vow. But I'm amazed at how few people today appreciate the fact that a man couldn't let his hair grow long if it's already long. Everybody thinks all the prophets and everybody in the Bible were a bunch of long-haired, unshaven, unbathed, uncouth, barefooted, raggedy waifs, tramps. The Scripture doesn't bear any of that out. They let the hair grow long for the length of the vow. Well, now after Samson's hair was cut, breaking the Nazarite vow, Delilah woke him up and said, "The Philistine be upon thee." And the Scripture says, he arose as he had aforetime and went out to meet the enemy, not knowing the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Had left him. And he was helpless because the Spirit of the Lord had left him. The Spirit be upon him, gone. The time of his death, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and there he shoved over the columns of the big temple, brought the temple down on him, and thousands were slain, died with him in his death. The Spirit of the Lord came back upon him. Now, Elisha wanted not only the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him or to come in him for power, but as they had in the Old Testament, but he wanted the New Testament experience, which was the indwelling Holy Spirit, never to leave him. And that's what we have today. We have possibility of two experiences with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The minute we believe, the Holy Spirit comes into us to indwell us forever. And as God Almighty gave the children of Israel the pillar of cloud and fire and never took it away from them till he got them safely in the promised land, so he gives us his Spirit to abide with us forever. Then the Spirit of the Lord come upon us to enable us to do the task whereunto he's called us. The disciples prayed often for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. They didn't take the power and success in the ministry of the Lord today for granted for tomorrow. Tomorrow they again prayed for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And the next day, all the time he's indwelling them. But they needed that extra unction. That's the secret of understanding the parable of the 10 virgins. All of them had their lamps. All of them had oil in their lamps. All of them had lamps burning. And they burned from the time they went out until the midnight cry rang out. And when the midnight cry rang out, they were still burning, all 10 still burning. The foolish said, "Our lamps are going out." They burned up until then. The wise had an extra portion of oil. They had their lamps, which had oil in them, and the wise then carried an extra vessel. You won't believe it, but I lived back in the days when you took an automobile ride on a Sunday afternoon, you put a 5-gallon can of gasoline in the car. So You wouldn't run out. There weren't any filling stations down the road. Not only that, you got that linen duster. That, you got 4 or 5 cans of tire patch. You made sure you had a jack and the pump and everything else. And somebody see you Monday, say, how was it yesterday? We had a wonderful time. Just had 13 flats. Now, I'm not joking. That happened one day. And we had a good time. You'd go 3 or 4 miles without having a flat. But it's something. That's all I better just stand still all Sunday afternoon. Well, it's just those days. They carried extra gasoline. And these wise virgins carried some extra oil. The wise virgins had an extra outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. They had an extra outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. All of them saved. All of them saved, but those who had the extra outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God are the ones coming in for rewards and honors and glory. Now, this cloud and pillar of cloud and pillar of fire was a gift of God. And the Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a gift, and He indwells us forever. Used to be a colored washwoman come next door and would wash, and our family knew her. We talked sometimes over the fence, and she knew I was studying for the ministry. And one morning she says, I declare, I just can't get it. And I said, get what? And she says, the Holy Ghost. She said, I went down there last night to the meeting again, and I went down to the front, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I rolled, and I rolled in the hay and the straw, and I just can't get it. And people think that's the way it is. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. He gives it to you. Now, we notice another thing here. This pillar of cloud and fire was to guide the children of Israel in their wilderness journeys from Egypt to the Promised Land. They never moved till the cloud moved. It was fire so it could be seen at night. It was cloud so it could be seen in the daytime. And the scripture from which I read a few moments ago, if that cloud tarried and remained there for a year, the people of Israel remained there for a year. When it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. That was the journey. Now, the Holy Spirit of God has given us for a guide. For a guide. What shall I do? Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now the question arises when you go talking about following the leadership of the Spirit of God. How can I tell when the Holy Spirit is leading me? I've been asked that question possibly as much as any other question. How can I know what is the will of the Lord? How can I know what is the will of the Lord? How did the children of Israel know about the plans and purposes of God with the cloud and pillar of fire? God spoke to them out of the cloud. And God speaks to us out of His Word. God speaks to us out of His Word. It's doubtful if anybody ever knows the will of God apart from the Word of God. This is God's Word to us. And as we read and study and pray and meditate upon it, God speaks to us out of it. Speaks to us out of it. I've told, if anybody ever knows the will of God apart from the Word of God. This is God's Word to us. And as we read and study and pray and meditate upon it, God speaks to us out of it. Speaks to us out of it. I've told most of you how the Lord spoke to me out of this once. It's in my second pastorate. I was having a rough time. And the Lord led me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Turn there for just a moment. To the book of Joshua. I was young in the ministry. I'd just been in the ministry a little over a year. And I didn't know what to do, but as I was reading along in this first chapter, a passage of Scripture just sprang out at me. Look there in verse 5. It was as if the Lord was standing there speaking audibly to me. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to do according to all of the law. And then it came on down to the passage of Scripture. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9? Have not I commanded thee? That verse was powerful to me. Have not I commanded thee? I tie that on to the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's commanded. He's my leader. He's my commander. Didn't I tell you to do this? I was trying to explain to somebody not long ago how wonderful it was to work for the Lord. The greatest and easiest thing there is in all the world. Number one, don't have to do anything until the Lord says so. And then when He says so, don't have to do anything except what He says. And when He tells me to do something, He furnishes the wherewith and the know-how and everything pertaining to it. And when I get through that, then I don't have to do anything else until He says so. And it's just that easy. And I've got friends running themselves crazy trying to find something to do for the Lord. And He wants them to be still and wait on Him and let Him do His work through them. But the Lord spoke to me out of that word, and it encouraged my heart, and I've been encouraged ever since. Ever since. I'm not going into any details at all. Someday, maybe at another time, I will. But I want to just call your attention to one verse of Scripture. I was praying very earnestly about going to India as a missionary. I was too old to go out under any board, married and had two children. They weren't the handicap. It was my age that was a handicap. So if I went, I'd have to go under the leadership of the Lord. And a man called me one day and told me that he heard I was praying about going to India. And he said, well, you can pack and get going. Said, I'll pay all your expenses. Go over there and I'll pay you the same salary over there you're getting here. Take care of everything. Well, there was my desire to go. There was the opportunity to go, everything. But I didn't know the will of the Lord. And as I was praying, one morning before daybreak, in the quiet darkness of the study, for the only time in my life, and I emphasize that because some people use this Bible as a rabbit's foot or a buckeye or a four-leaf clover or something. I never have. I've got some friends that get up and open the book at random every day and say, what's my verse for the day? And they put the finger on a verse and read it, and that's what they're supposed to do today. But this one time, he said, you'll find the answer up there in the book. I found the book in the darkness, opened it, my finger came to rest in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. On a certain verse, I held it there and got up and groped for the light, finally turned on the light, and then I read this verse of Scripture, the fifth verse of the third chapter. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. I knew then I was not supposed to go to India. But I had a little trouble with the house of Israel because I thought the church was the house of Israel, and so I thought maybe the Lord was wanting me to go and hold revival meetings in Baptist churches and open the back door and help them clean out and things like that. But that wasn't it. It meant just what it said, to the house of Israel, to the house of Israel. And one day that came home to me, and from that day until this, that's been the bent of my life. Well, God spoke to the children of Israel out of the cloud and pillar of fire. And God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit out of His Word. Out of His Word. Now, I give you something that's always been successful for me, to know the will of the Lord. Three things. If these three things conform, I feel sure it's the will of the Lord. Number one, it's in harmony with the Word of God. The Lord's not going to want any of us to do anything that's contrary to His Word. Number two, providential circumstances permit. That's important. I had a friend come to me once, and he said, Brother Wilson, I'm supposed to be pastor of a certain church over here. I said, well, they've got a pastor. I said, providential circumstances don't permit. And the pastor stayed. He never did leave. You see, with me, to go to India, that was in harmony with the Word of God, because He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And providential circumstances permitted, because there was a man going to pay all expenses. But there was a third thing, peace of God. The peace of God. Now, there's a verse of Scripture for that, and it's in Colossians. Book of Colossians. Chapter 1. Excuse me, make it 3. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3 and 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule literally is umpire or referee. Let the peace of God be the referee. Let the peace of God call the play. Now, there was conformity to the Word of God about my going to India, providential circumstances permitted, but I had no peace in my heart. I didn't. That's the reason I was there praying. I had no peace. I wanted to go, but I had no peace. It was the will of God. But when those three things conform, it's in harmony with the Word of God, providential circumstances permit, and you've got that perfect peace. Come what may, you know that's what God wants you to do. And only you know. Only you know when that comes. Only you know. All right. This pillar of cloud and fire was a gift of God. It was never taken away from them. And God spoke to the children of Israel out of that cloud. And He speaks to us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's not going to take Him away from us. Now when David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me, he was living in the day in which the Holy Spirit came and went and came and went. And that was a legitimate prayer. Because the Holy Spirit was on him at times and the Holy Spirit was not on him at times. Now, again, concerning this analogy, it guided them through the wilderness. Now, the Holy Spirit will guide you in your wilderness journey. The Holy Spirit will guide you through his word. Through his word. All right. That requires study, meditation upon the word of God, not just a casual reference to it here, and see if you find the will of the Lord. This pillar of fire gave them light in darkness. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us light in this dark age in which we now live. Let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord hath to say. Let him hear. He received light. He, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. He will enlighten you as you go along the way. This pillar of cloud and fire was a covering to protect them from the sun. I think few people appreciate the fact of that. There are few places hotter than the Sinai Peninsula and that part of Arabia, in that area where the children of Israel wandered for 38 and a half years. There are few places in the world hotter than that. But that pillar of cloud was a shadow over them to protect them from the sun and make it easy for them to live out there in the desert, overshadowed. And the Holy Spirit of God is as a cloud over us to protect us. Another interesting thing about this cloud is that whereas it was light to the children of Israel, it was darkness to the Egyptians. The Egyptians couldn't see because of it. The children of Israel could see because of it. We have one deviation in the working of the cloud. The cloud, the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, left the front and retired to the rear of the children of Israel to protect them from the Egyptian Pharaoh and his hosts as they were coming. And they couldn't see through that, and they didn't know what was taking place, and they plunged into the sea in the midst of the cloud and the pillar of fire, which was darkness unto them. This pillar of cloud and fire rested upon the Egyptians, upon the tabernacle, as soon as it was finished. And as soon as we have believed on the Lord and settled that with him, the Holy Spirit comes to rest upon us and rest within us. It's never taken away. And one glorious thing about this pillar of cloud and fire, it's going to return one day to the tabernacle. One of the dark days in the history of Israel was when the Shekinah glory left the temple of the Lord. It left, and it's gone. But one of these days, when the temple is rebuilded, and God Almighty inaugurates his services there for the millennial reign of Christ, the Shekinah glory is coming back, coming into the east door, into the temple, and abide there once again. This analogy between the pillar of cloud and fire and the Holy Spirit of God. Three persons in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks peace to our heart. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will call to our remembrance the things of God. Many people are in that connection. I hear people talking all the time about having a revelation from God. God revealed this to me and God revealed that to me. This is the revelation of God. The Holy Spirit will call to your attention things in here which you have read, but I'm sure you can understand the fact that he can't call to your attention something you haven't read. Call to your remembrance something you haven't read. And many people have nothing called to their remembrance because they never read this. They don't know it. The Word of God. You remember these things? The pillar of cloud was given to the children of Israel after they left Egypt. The Holy Spirit was given to us after we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The pillar of cloud remained with them and was never taken away from them. The Holy Spirit is given to us and is never taken away from us. The Holy Spirit indwelling us is not conditioned by any state of holiness or morality of our own, but according to the promise of God. The outpouring of the Spirit of God may be conditioned by the life that we live, but not the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we keep that in mind. He'll lead us into the things here, the word of truth. He'll guide us and direct us. He'll comfort us. He'll speak peace to our hearts. He does everything that God's love demands we need. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. We talk about the omnipresence of God. Talk about God being present everywhere. And I encounter those who deny to God a body and deny God's presence in heaven today on the throne, localized, because they said he can't be in heaven seated on the throne and be omnipresent. I said, is God the Father? He's seated on the throne and he's localized there in heaven. But as God the Holy Spirit, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere as the Holy Spirit of God. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God. He's everywhere. Now, there's one thing today that has confused many people just because of their failure to read the Word of God. I call your attention to the second chapter of Acts of the Apostles. The second chapter of Acts of the Apostles. This is in connection with these so-called charismatic gifts. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. This day of Pentecost, where all of the people there heard the gospel preached in their mother tongue. The tongues or languages which these people spoke under the power of the Spirit of God was a real language that was known and used and understood by people somewhere. But as all that was going on, some of them began to talk about these people are drunk or something. And in the 15th verse of that second chapter, Peter said, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That is, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning, and no Jew starts drinking before 9 o'clock in the morning. Of course, today they start drinking and drink 24 hours a day in many instances, but this was different. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in that day, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here's where they are, by paying no attention to the word of God. Verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He's not poured out on all flesh today. Just on believers. And they're in a minority. He is not poured out on all flesh today. Neither has the sun turned to blood, the moon, the darkness. Those things haven't happened yet. What Peter said, this is that. This is the beginning of it. But Israel didn't repent of her sins, and these things were not fulfilled. Now, if you'll go back to the book of Joel, prophecy of Joel, and read this prophecy where it comes from, you'll find there that Joel tells us about the kingdom being established and the millennial reign being inaugurated and Jesus back here ruling and reigning. And it shall come to pass after that, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's when he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, the inauguration of the millennial reign of Christ. Everybody goes into that saved, and everybody has a Spirit. All flesh. That hasn't happened yet. And he's not poured out on all flesh today. He is not poured out on all flesh today. Pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Father, bless this meditation. Lord, we thank Thee for these moments together every Wednesday evening. We just pray that Thou make them profitable to all of us. Bless the tapes as they carry the message, as Thy Spirit leads and directs. May there be a blessing to all, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.